Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Miscarriage Stories. I am Arden Cartrett. I'm your host, and today's episode is kind of the same old thing, but a little different as well. So I have Rekefit on, which I'm obsessed with her name. I think it's the most beautiful name possible. Rekefit joins to one, talk about her experience with pregnancy loss, but two, talk about a short film that she has written and starred in, that she is right now shopping it around at film festivals and trying to find a way to make this a bigger thing. Now, I did get to screen this short film and it's incredible. I am not, and I talk about this in the episode where I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing and critiquing or, you know, giving opinions on anything, but as somebody who has had two miscarriages and has talked to hundreds of people who experience loss, this short film called Still was sadly so amazing. It was dark and uncomfortable. There's a lot of triggers in it, but it's also the kind of showcase of triggers that makes you feel seen. It's an incredible short film. And so it's called Still. Hopefully it will be available next year on some sort of streaming platform, but right now they are trying to get more support on the back end of the film, which I think is so important, and all of us in the miscarriage community understand that, because the reality of loss needs to be shared, and that's what this does. So you'll hear us talk about it in the episode. She's going to talk about her experience going through a pregnancy loss, and I will put all of the links to the trailer, to information on the short film, to the original music that she wrote, and the music video that actually gives you a little bit more peek into the short film, and everything that you need. That way you can follow along. And then once this is available, I will be updating this feed. That way you all know. But we talk pretty in depth, where you get a good idea of what to expect from it. And it's an incredible thing to do in honor of her baby, and in honor of all of our babies, really. So let's get into it. Here is my episode of Miscarriage Stories with Rekefit. You're listening to Miscarriage Stories with Arden Cartrett. I just watched Still, and I'm gonna email you guys like with my feedback, because I love it. I'm like, please. Now I'm like just thinking about it. And it's funny because you guys emailed me and I watched it, and I didn't realize that you were starring in it. And in my note, I wrote down the actress who plays the lead was phenomenal in the role of a bereaved mother. And then I look and I'm like, oh my gosh.
She's bereaved mother.
Well, and I was like, thank God I actually like then did research to know that that was you, or that would have been so embarrassing. But that was like, I wrote that down as one of my thoughts because it was so moving.
Oh, and my somebody, God, that means so
like,
much.
I love thrillers. And so it was like the perfect mixture of sadness mixed with like a thriller suspense. And it was so great. So I'm so hopeful that, you know, with festivals, I don't even know how that process works, but I imagine it's daunting and a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear. The first one we're going to hear from is Sundance in December. Oh. And I'm like praying. I mean, if it got into Sundance, it would just be the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
So I'm preparing myself to be disappointed, but I also, you know, we submitted to Sundance, Tribeca, like South Amazing. By Southwest, all the really big festivals first, because they all want premieres.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of horror festivals that know me really well that all want it like now. And I was like, No one gets it until the premiere only festivals tell me that they don't want it.
Yeah.
Once they don't want it, then have at it. You guys can all play it.
Well, so. And I think what's so great about it is Again, it's not that I am anybody who has an opinion because I literally know nothing about film and what goes into
You
it.
don't have to.
However,
You're an audience
I
member.
well, I'm somebody who like I love how things are made. And so I am always like the person on IMDb of like who is in this and what else have they been in? And like I just like backstories. And I feel like it was shot for being a short, like the quality is so great that
Thank
like it I
you.
even see potential of it being like a bigger thing than being a short. So I think it's so great. But I know that that's biased because I'm somebody who has experienced loss. And so seeing that
Sure.
it's a representation of me when I don't see that a lot on TV. You know,
But honestly,
miscarriage never looks like that.
it's made for people like you and me. It's made for those people. That's who I made it for. I made it
Yeah.
for women and families who are going through this really horrible experience. And I want them to feel seen and heard and understood and like that somebody gets it and they're not alone and they understand. And I really wanted it to be something that, like, if somebody was like, I just don't understand what you're going through, but I'm sorry, I wanted them to be like,
Yes.
watch this. This is what I'm going through.
Yes.
I'm going through this. And I wanted, so yeah.
I had a, I'm not going to give too much away, in case I use this audio in the episode. But at the end of the movie, I feel like if I hadn't experienced loss, I would have been confused of like, oh, you know, was that an illusion or something? But it's like, no, I've been in that place where I've imagined holding my baby and being with my baby so much that I want it to be real. And I've wondered what they look like and felt like and smelled like. And then I realized that my arms are still empty, even though I'm thinking about it. And it's like, it just literally paints, sadly, the most morbidly beautiful picture. And it's
Oh.
just, it really, it did such a great job. And so I think, you know, sometimes I think about TV and pregnancy loss and you see like a little bit of blood on the tissue, and then it's like they're
Right.
coming out of the doctor's office. And
Right.
it's like this really covers it. Like it shows the dramatic blood loss because it is super dramatic. You know,
It
we
is.
aren't just making it up. You know, and how we feel in social situations or how we feel in our own home, how people are concerned about us, and we don't even hear their concern because we don't care. And
Right.
it's just a great picture. So
Well,
and also, I have the music video that we'll post a link to. And then also the music video, which goes along with the film. So it's a really great,
yeah,
I
I
love
wrote
it.
that song to put in the movie. And it was obviously based on my feelings. And
Yeah.
yeah, I it's that means the most to me when it's coming from women who've experienced loss, because my biggest concern when making it was I don't want to trigger people in the wrong way. I don't want to exploit their experience. I want them to feel like I get their experience. And
Yeah.
so I'm always worried someone's going to be like, why would you make this? This is so awful. And I
I
hope that's
get that.
not what people come away with, you know?
So I will tell you as a testimony, I am somebody. So my first miscarriage was 5 years ago. I had blood loss very similar to what was described in the film. I'm very triggered by blood. My period is still really hard. I've done a lot of therapy. It's better. Normally blood is really triggering to me. And that was like it wasn't a bad trigger. It was more like I felt represented. So it wasn't something
Thank
that triggered me. It literally was like, yes, this is literally, like you said, something I can show somebody and be like, this is what happened to me. So as somebody triggered by blood, it did not trigger me, if that
That's
makes you feel any
great. I'm
better.
so glad, because I definitely don't want anyone to feel more traumatized after they see it. I
Course.
want them to feel more like you said, represented. I want them to
Yeah.
their story to be represented, their feelings to be represented, their experience. I didn't realize, because nobody talks about miscarriage, which is another reason why I made it. I know you do, but like in
Yeah,
general,
no,
it's
totally.
like a taboo topic, right? And
Right.
I didn't realize something comes out of you. Like
100%.
just to be really like graphic, but like I had no idea that something would fall out of me, and
Yeah.
it did, and it was terrifying because I had never heard of such a thing. I had never, you see the blood in the movies, but they don't really show anything, and they don't. I had contractions. I was in the hospital with full on birthing contractions,
Yeah.
the worst pain I've ever felt in my whole life. And I was like, they were like, you're having contractions. I'm like, I'm only like 8 weeks pregnant. And they were like, yeah, but your body wants it out. And that's what your body does to get it out. And I did not know you could have contractions that early in a pregnancy. It was,
yeah,
it was horrible. So I just, I don't know. I just feel like had I known, or had it not been something that people had never talked to me about or shared with me, I would have been less scared. I would have been a little less scared and a little less panicked and a little less, you know. My mom was Million. She's never had a miscarriage, so she didn't know what to expect either. And so we were both just like, we just didn't know what was happening, you know? And I, you know, it makes me think of little girls who don't understand their period and when they first get it and nobody's talked to them and they're like, I'm bleeding and I don't know why I'm bleeding.
It is very similar to that. True. Is.
And if you don't know that that's what happens and that's like, or could happen that way, it's so quite extra alarming. Scary on top of the regular scary.
And so I'd love to get into your experience with pregnancy loss, because it's the big inspiration for the film, for the music. I do want to point out that one thing I really liked is in the little blurb you guys sent me about Still, it is mentioned that it is meant to honor all mothers and families who experience infant loss at any stage. And I really like the use of your words. I think that it's really validating for, you know, a big group of people who feel like they don't find that validation that they've lost a baby. Because sometimes we have losses at 8 weeks and people are like, oh, like kind of like in the film, at least it happened early. At least you could try again. At least you didn't waste like, that much time.
Yeah. Like, and you weren't even really pregnant and you couldn't really tell. And nobody, it's just like, oh my God, you have no idea.
Don't get
that
it.
In the 2 weeks I knew I was pregnant, I had imagined an entire life that never was to happen. And, and it was as real as anything. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, so that's important to me too, that people understand that it does not matter. If you know you're pregnant for 1 minute, that's enough, you know, or if you never knew you were pregnant and then you find out you were pregnant. I mean, like it's enough. It's enough.
We'd like to say a loss is a loss is a loss. Yeah. And it, you know, even in these podcast episodes, we have people who talk about doing IVF after loss and then feeling the loss of embryos and not realizing how heavy that is. And there's so many ways to experience loss, and there's no one that's, you know, quote unquote, worse than the other, because this is all our experiences. This is all grief. This is all terrible. It's trauma. It's our story. And even though each story is unique, there's elements of it that really match up. And I think that that's, you know, what these conversations and what films like Still, what they do is they represent that. And I think that's just so important.
Thank you. I mean, I can tell you about my individual.
I would sadly love it.
I don't know. Hi, Luna. Sorry, my cat is.
Hey, I told you we're casual here. Really. It's totally fine.
You're okay, honey. You're okay. Obviously the movie is not my experience. I was not 6 months pregnant like she is in the movie and stuff like that. It was my experience, my feelings. My feelings are in the movie. The details are not the same. For me, I got pregnant. I don't have a partner. I'm single. I got pregnant somewhat, I guess, by accident, although I never was really trying to protect myself from being pregnant because I wanted to get pregnant. So I never, like, you know, it was not an issue to me. And I honestly thought I couldn't get pregnant because most of my life, there were many times I could have gotten pregnant, I suppose, had I been really fertile or something, and I never did. So I honestly had started to believe I wasn't even capable of getting pregnant. And I was 42 at the time. I'm 44 now. So it wasn't like young. And so I just kind of figured it won't happen. And then when I took the pregnancy test, I was like, I didn't even understand what I was looking at. I was like, is this like a real thing? Cause it was like a dream it was like a dream come true. I texted it to like 5 people and was like, what does this say? Like, I just, because I was so happy, but I was afraid to be happy because I thought maybe it's wrong or maybe it's not a good test or whatever. Anyway, of course, I was extremely happy. Well, not of course, some people are not. I was very happy that I was pregnant. I actually, I was pretty sure who the father was, but there was one other person that it could have been. And so I wasn't really sure. And that alone was like, made me not want to talk about it because I didn't want people to judge me, that I wasn't sure who the father was. I knew it was one of 2 people, but I wasn't sure. And all of that. And one of them did not take it well at all. And one of them did, like, was more supportive, let's say. And I guess I was pregnant for about 2.5 weeks that I knew about. So it was almost 8, it was like 7 to 8 weeks, I think, when I finally had the miscarriage. Oh no, it's okay, honey. She was crying. I'm so sorry. It's okay. I'm so sorry.
I can hear it, if that makes you feel any better.
Oh, you can't?
At least in my head. I don't think so. At least in my head. Okay, headphones. Good.
It's the thing. So anyway, I'm so out of it today. Okay. And so I knew I was pregnant. I was very stressed out the whole time because I was worried about doing it alone and I was worried about how am I going to handle it? But of course I wanted it. And so I was just torn with like my feelings. When I was actually finally kind of coming to terms and feeling okay about it, that's when it happened. When I was finally like, this is great. This is really good news. I'm not going to be stressed about it. I'm not going to be anxious. And, I'm excited. My parents were helping me try to move and find a place that had another room for another baby, for another person in the house. And then one day I woke up, I had really, really bad cramps and, there was blood. There was a lot of blood. And we called the doctor and we went to the emergency room and, it was during COVID, like right after the lockdown. And they wouldn't let my mom come in and it was like horrible. And I was in so much pain. I've never been in so much pain, like in places you don't think you could be in pain. Yeah. Like just like every piece of everything under my waist was painful. And they were doing tests and like, you know, with the wand and with the ultrasound and like pushing on it and I'm screaming. And it was just like a really horrific experience. And they wanted to give me pain medicine, but they weren't telling me that there was anything wrong with the baby. And I said, as long as the baby is okay, don't want to take anything because I don't want to risk it. So I was completely like not on any drugs or anything because I didn't want to risk its life. And they did an ultrasound and they're like, it's still, you know, your baby's there. And they took my HCG levels and they were like 4,000 something, but nobody had ever taken them to have a baseline. So we didn't know if they were falling or rising or staying the same, or we didn't know anything. Eventually, like it started to calm down the pain and it settled and the bleeding stopped and it was too early for a heartbeat. So they weren't like checking for that. But they were like, we still see it there. You know, if you're not in pain, you can go home and just be careful, take it easy and we'll see how it goes. I got home and within like an hour or two, I was in massive pain again. Just horrible pain. And I went back to the emergency room and they did another ultrasound and they were like, and they took my blood and they were like, your blood's now like, your HCG is like 400. I mean, it like dropped dramatically. Mm-hmm. They're like, it's not happening. And they're like, well, let's see if you pass it kind of on your own and whatever. So they sent me back home. And I was still in a lot of pain and cramps and whatever. And then I was like literally on the phone with my friend crying. And I don't know how graphic we can get on this, but
We can share anything.
Okay. But I literally, it was the weirdest sensation. I felt something fall out of me into my underwear. Like I felt like something plop. And it was the worst feeling. It was just the most horrifying feeling. And I went to the bathroom and there was like a something the size of, I don't know, a golf ball, maybe slightly smaller, that came out. I'm assuming it was the sack. I'm not really sure. And I immediately threw it away because I just put it in the trash. I didn't flush it, but I just put it in the trash and I was like in shock and crying. Yeah. And my mom came in and I was like, I don't even know what that was. And it was just horrifying to see. And I threw the trash in like a bigger trash can outside, and you know, I was crying all day and I went to bed, and then I woke up in the morning and I was like losing my mind about it being in the trash. And so I started digging through the trash to try to find it, which is kind of where the idea of the digging came from in the movie. It was just this wanting to be close to it. I just wanted it back, whatever it was.
I felt that.
Even if it was just this kind of grotesque thing, I just wanted it back, and I wanted it with me, and I just wanted it back. And my mom actually stopped me from doing it, and she went and put gloves on and she went through the trash for me to find it.
Oh my God.
My mom is the most amazing person, and she plays the mom in the movie, and she's not like that at all. Oh. And she's like, I'm horrified that this is the thing I have to say in the movie, because she was the most supportive in the whole world. Anyway, she got it out of the trash, and she went out and bought dirt and flowers and a pot and to help me bury it in front of my house, and put some flowers in it and help me just kind of bury it and say something, which made me feel better that it's just nearby. And you know, the night that I had the miscarriage, I had a nightmare that I was at the hospital. Like I foresaw it. Like in my, I had a nightmare about it. I was at the hospital and I was crying and telling them it's too early. It's too early. What, make it stop. It's too early. And then I woke up and there was blood everywhere. So like my body knew, and it was telling me, like, I totally had a dream before the day that it happened of exactly what was about to happen. So when I was at the hospital crying, it's too early, it's too early, I was like, oh my God, this is my freaking nightmare. This is like literally the nightmare I had last night. And I had another nightmare that like I had my baby and then it disappeared and all this stuff. So afterwards, I just was not well for like a while. Like I just, it was, especially for me at my age and not having a partner, felt really final. Like it just felt like that might have been my chance and now it's gone. And so when people were like, you can try again, I wanted to smack them. Like, I just was like, you don't know that I can try again. You have no idea what my situation is for you to even say that to me.
Yeah.
Or that it was meant to be, or that it was, you know, like, I'm like, ugh, just.
What a crappy thing to say.
It just really is. Like, I get it. It's coming from like a well-meaning place. I do believe it's coming from a well-meaning place, but it's so hurtful. And you don't know what somebody's situation is, and you don't know if they can try again, and you don't know, you just don't know.
Like how long it took to get to that point, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend who has a baby and she's had multiple miscarriages since then. And people are like, why aren't you having more kids? Don't you want more kids? And it's like, dude, you have no idea. Like, you just have no clue how hard, like, I've been wanting, of course, but she wants more kids. She but you don't know that she's lost 4 pregnancies since then. Yeah. Like, it's none of your business. It's just none of your business to ask it's that so kind personal. Of question. Right. And then when it's actually, but then when it's like, I want to share that, you know, this happened, then it's suddenly like, oh, it's none of our business. And it's like, oh, now it's none of your business. Now that I'm like needing support and pain and I'm in pain and, you know, now you don't, oh, that's weird. I don't want to talk about that. And, you know, I had told a few more than maybe like 20 people that I was pregnant, and my everybody was telling me, don't tell people, it's too early. And I was like, I'm excited. I'm so happy and excited, and I can't keep it in. I was telling strangers, like at the gym, I was just like telling everybody, I just was so happy. And then, you know, when I lost it, there was all this guilt, like maybe I brought this on myself, and maybe I did this to me, and maybe I'm not good enough to be a mother, and maybe God doesn't want me to be a mother, or the universe thinks I would be bad at it, or, you know, all the horrible things that we say to ourselves. That's just not true. But, you know, you know, or maybe I shouldn't have gone to the gym that day, or maybe I shouldn't have, whatever, you know, all the what ifs. And I just felt a lot of guilt and sadness and everything. And I didn't really know what to do with all of it. And I was angry at the things people were saying to me. And for a long time, I just did nothing about it. I just was in pain and felt horrible and sad. And I would cry all the time and whatever. And then I, like about a year after, I wrote the script for Still. And I just was like, I need to write about this. And so I wrote about it, and because I was like, you know, if I lost a real baby at the park, like if I had a baby and I lost it and it just disappeared or something, it just took off, someone took it, nobody in the world would say to me, it's okay, you can try again. Like, oh, at least it happened while they were young, you know, like you didn't get too attached to them, you know. Like 100%. Nobody would say that about a live baby. So why would you say that about a baby that never really got to live, you know? And so that's kind of where the inspiration for the script came. It started there. Like what if I found a baby and then it disappeared, and everybody was just like, it's cool. And then I wrote it, and I entered it into some film festivals as a script, and it did pretty well. And people were really like, I got a lot of good feedback, and I realized that, you know, anyway, so then we raised the money for it and we made it. And now it's like been my mission to increase just awareness about the situation, the problem in general, and the fact that people are afraid to talk about it, and the fact that people say the wrong things. And it was really hard to direct and act and everything that I did for the movie. And I didn't think I'd be able to access those emotions because I was producing and directing, and I was like kind of busy with, like, you know,
everything else.
And like I couldn't just be an actor and just like get myself to that place. And I had to pull myself in and out of it constantly while we were shooting. But the second I put myself in the scene, I had no problem bringing it all out. Like every single tear is real in that movie, completely real. The pain is real. None of it's even acting. I feel bad taking credit as an actor because like it's not even acting. It was just like me accessing all of that stuff that I had been pushing down for so long and finally allowed myself to let it out. I mean, when we shot basically the final part of the movie with the digging and everything, I cried. It went a lot longer than what you see on screen. I couldn't stop crying. I could not stop crying. People on set were crying. Mm-hmm. Like it was a really intense experience. And I don't like putting out movies that make people cry. That's not like my thing, but I felt like it was really, really important to show. And a lot of people said to cut it shorter and we don't need to sit on the crying so long. And I was like, no.
The whole thing is crying because it's sad. What do you mean?
And I'm like, it's just, that's what it is. And if it makes people uncomfortable, then good. I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe it should. Not, I don't hope it doesn't make the women that I'm making it more comfortable. But if it makes other people uncomfortable because they don't want to see that kind of pain or they don't want to acknowledge the experience, I hope that they're forced to see it and that they get it, you know?
I agree. And I like, I'm wondering what the, like where the thought came from to make it more like thriller, kind of like spooky, and there is a part where I literally jumped. I'm a very easy like jump scare, so it did get me a little bit. Versus like a sad, melancholy
like drama.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I tend to it's like an even longer story, but I make horror movies and I don't really like horror movies. So that's like a whole other conversation, but it's not that I don't like them. I'm a scaredy cat. I'm a scaredy cat too. Everything scares me. So, but I make really scary things.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And it's like a whole other interview, really. I could get into all of that and to why I do that. But the first movie I made, I didn't think was a horror. I thought it was just like a thriller drama. And people were like, this is a horror movie. And I was like, oh, and that was Jackson Love. And then I made Boo, which is definitely a horror movie. But I made that on purpose to be a horror because everybody was expecting horror from me. And so I was like, okay, I'll make that. And then still, honestly, I just never wanted it to be cheesy because I felt like that would take the power away from it. And to me, it was a horrific experience. And I thought horror lended itself very well to the subject because it's a horrific thing to experience. And horror is a really good genre to explore painful things. My last movie was a horror, but it was really about addiction. It was about toxic relationships and addiction and stuff like that. So I don't make, well, at least not yet. I haven't made any like just fun slasher films just for the sake of being a fun slasher film. Everything I've made has a message and a meaning and a reason and like something I want people to take away knowing more about that experience, whatever that is. My last one was like, you know, I want people to understand what it's like to be an addict. My first one was about love addiction, essentially. So it just kind of became, and we got our sound mixer won an Emmy for American Horror Story. So he was really good at the horror stuff. So he really amped up the horror with our sound design.
Did a great job.
And our composer, Catherine Capozzi, also, she did an amazing job with the music. The score is all original score that she wrote for the movie. I wrote the song that's in the middle of it. And yeah, everyone that worked on it is in some way or another horror adjacent. So it just kind of became that. And it's nothing like the script. The script was this, if it had been like the script, it would have been that melancholy drama thing. But when it got into production, we were like, this has to be more interesting. It just wasn't, it was just sad when we first got it. It was just like, just sad, but it had there was no story. It was nothing like keeping you. It was just like a bunch of sad things all together. And so I started to mix and match them and change the order of stuff. And I made it into kind of a grieving loop because that's what grief feels like, you know, just as you're feeling better, you're back in it and then you're back out and then you're back in it and then you're back out. And so the whole, like, the movie is bookended by her experiences. So it starts at the end. And it ends at the end, but it all comes back around, kind of a thing.
Well, I must be your target audience because on some of the things that you've mentioned from the film, I did pick up on. Like whenever you were in the woods and digging, I was like, that's where the dirt at the beginning of the movie was on the baby's face because I noticed the dirt. And so then I also, whenever you were digging and you held the baby wrapped in the blanket, to me that represented somebody who had an early miscarriage and buried their baby, but like it wasn't something, you know, tangible. It wasn't like a full infant in the ground that you were pulling up. So I got all of that from understanding miscarriage and grief, and so I picked up on all of that. And I'm telling you, I think it did so good as like a psychological thriller because it also, it made me think about the mental health of the person going through it, where it's almost like you're in and out of a daze, like you kind of feel like you're literally losing your mind. It's more than grief. It's so many aspects of it. I love that. And I also picked up on how the character was alone. So was like a single mother, was alone. Was that intentional too? Or was it just easier to have less people, you know, in
No, it was intentional. We actually shot a scene of her that's not in the movie, of me in the house, just sitting there depressed. And then you see me slam my coffee down on top of a like fertility bill. Like she went out pregnant and it cost her a lot of money. And it said like, it's never too late was their like tagline at the bottom or whatever. And we cut it because it just didn't, it wasn't coming off right. And at first people were like, it looks like she's depressed because she's in debt. And I was like, that's not the point.
Okay, I get
so,
that.
Like, you know, there were some things that just wasn't working. So originally there was more of an explanation as to like how she got pregnant and why she's by herself. But then I figured, you know what, we don't need all of that. We get it. She's obviously by herself. There's nobody with her. Her mom doesn't know where she is, and she's clearly gone off to
Griefland.
Grief. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure, you know, I always have a weird like eye for things where I pick up on things. I feel like that, like if my husband were to watch the same thing, he'd be like, where are you getting that from? And so I bet he would think that like it represented you feeling alone. So I think it could either look as like the character was alone, or she just felt alone and we just didn't see her partner. And so
honestly,
it goes really well.
I've heard so many from the few people that have seen it, not many people, but a few people, everyone has had a different take on it. And I love that, because it means that it's universal, and it's, and anybody can see it. I had one friend who told me he saw it as she had killed herself to be with her baby. And this was like, she was in like a purgatory kind of a thing, which was like nothing obviously that I meant to do, but for whatever reason, that's how he took it. And honestly, however anybody takes it, so far from what I've heard, all of them are amazing takes. All of them are correct in one way or another. And I have like what I think it means and how I, whatever, but I think everybody, depending on what their personal experience is, they're going to look at it through that lens. And I love that it can kind of mold into whatever, you know, everyone. And also everyone has different parts that are hard for them to watch. Like some people, it's the park scene. They're like, I don't like the yelling at her. Like when the woman's like saying things to her, that was very triggering for some people. Other people was the blood. Other people was the end. Nobody had the same trigger point either. Like everybody had a different thing that really struck them. Because of their own experience. And so I kind of like that about it, that it just kind of, it's so not concrete in what the story is, that you can make it kind of your story in a way so that you can relate to it.
Well, it's basically like you did your job at making a psychological thriller short film, because that's literally what psychological thrillers are, is where a lot of people, I mean, I always think about Shutter Island. I've never met a single person with the same opinion of Shutter Island as me. And every time I watch it, I have a different opinion. So I think, you know, it's,
I actually tried to copy a shot from Shutter Island, but we didn't have the right equipment. It was when he finds the kids. But I tried to copy it, but we didn't have the right stuff. But I just love that movie too, because
it's a great movie.
I didn't see any of it coming. I love any movie that the end you're like, what?
What?
I love those movies. So that's always my goal with my films. Yeah.
I'll also say, because a lot of times I have conversations, especially with clients, about like triggering TV content or movies. And for me, this felt really comparable to, and I don't know if you watched Dead to Me on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
It was really comparable to Judy's miscarriage scene. To me, it felt like those two stories went hand in hand, which is a really big, I mean, that is like the biggest compliment, because
to me, it's a humongous compliment. That show is so well done.
But also like her talking about miscarriage and recurrent loss and the way that it's represented, where she had a nursery and things like that. Like, I feel like to people who don't get it, they're like, why would she have a nursery if she kept having early miscarriages? But it's like your film answers that question. And I feel like it just, that's what came to my mind was Judy's story and Dead to Me. And so that's, I felt like it was a good comparison.
Beautiful. I love that. There's also Yellow Jackets. I don't know if you've seen that.
I haven't watched it.
It's intense.
I've heard.
There's a baby and doesn't make it. And if this woman like pretends it's alive for a long time.
Oh,
and
my God, that's
I really, really connected to that, because I had the same, I wanted this little whatever thing came out of me. Like I genuinely, with no disgust or fear, wanted to hold it to me and keep it like literally in my pocket. Like, I just didn't, yeah. I wanted it to just be as close to me as possible. And I didn't care what shape it was in or what it really looked like or what it was or what it wasn't, you know, it just was like, it represented my baby. And so, and I, you know, it was too early to find out the sex, but the entire time I felt like it was a boy. I just had a really strong feeling. I had already imagined him and everything. So I gave him a name. His name is Max Jacob. And so I named the kid Jacob in the movie.
That was going to be one of my questions.
And Jacob is my dad's English name. He has a Hebrew name that he goes by, but, you know, and Max is one of my great grandfather's name. So it was like a name I was prepared to give this baby. And I was like, well, it's his name. So even if I were to ever have another kid, I wouldn't name them the same thing. Like, that's his.
I love that. And that also answers the question, as I was wondering if your first name was Hebrew, because it sounds.
It is. Hebrew. Yeah. My first name for Kefit is a Cyclamen Flower, which is the name of my production company, Cyclamen Films.
Oh,
so Cyclamen means Rekefit in Hebrew or beautiful. In English. So, and it's like a flower that grows wild in Israel, and my mom loves it. And so that's what they named me, Rekefit.
Yeah. I love that. I grew up in a Jewish family and my Hebrew name is so boring. It's Ariella. And I'm like, you guys,
that's my sister's name.
Okay. But like, why couldn't I have a more Hebrew name?
Why? I think Ariella is a gorgeous name. You don't like it?
I just, my brother got the name Label Chaim. And I thought that was so cool growing up. It was strong. And I was like, why did you give my brother a strong name? And I'm Ariella.
That's so funny. I used to say the opposite. I would be like, why'd you give me Rick Heffett? And then you named her Ariella and him Aaron. Like, my sister and mother got like normal names. And why did I get this like Rick Heffett? It's like harsh sounding, crazy name.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, that's so funny. That. Everybody wants what they don't have, I guess. I don't know. But I think Ariella is the most beautiful name. I would totally name my kid Ariella.
Well, and I was named after an Aaron. So that's where they got like the A's, because in Jewish families, it's usually by first names. Although I feel like we're all changing that now with different generations, because now I'm not going by first letters. I'm like, if I like a name, I'm taking it. You're and just kind of sticking with it. Yeah, I'm going with it.
To me, it's not even about that. It was more about just wanting to give a family name to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Oh, I, so I don't know anything about, again, I keep prefacing because I know nothing about like film.
That's okay.
So the process with still for people to like get excited to one day see it is, it will not be available to the public until it is in the festivals and sold and like goes to live someplace, right?
Right. So like, it probably will not be online until 2025.
Okay.
But all of 2024, I can guarantee it will be playing at multiple festivals.
Okay.
Which festivals, I don't know, but I can promise you it will be playing places, and we're going to be sending it all over the country and all over the world. My last film played in like over 90 film festivals all over the world, in Canada and, oh my God, so many places, Mexico. Anyway, so people will be able to see it next year in their city, possibly at a festival. The best way is to just kind of follow us on social media. I always post about where it's going to be playing, what time, how to get tickets, stuff like that. The music video obviously is available now for anybody to see. The song, both the acoustic and the electronic versions, are out on all the music streaming platforms. So Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, whatever, you can find them. And yeah, as far as the movie, unfortunately, right now all you can see is the teaser. The teaser is up, the trailer is up, and the music video is up, which gives you a little bit of a glimpse of some of it, but we didn't want to give too much away, because it's only a 10-minute movie, so you can't put too much in that's not the movie. And like, right now we're waiting to hear from Sundance and South by Southwest and Tribeca and Cannes and like some big festivals. And then once we have our premiere, then it's not as big of a deal like where it plays. So once the premiere happens, then I can start submitting it to more places, because I want to submit it to as many places as I can, so that like whatever city somebody is in, they can find it somewhere. And then next year or next year, it will for sure be online and everywhere. My other ones, my two films are on Amazon Prime. This one will also probably go on Amazon. It'll be all over different places. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, and we will make sure that we like either update this episode or do like some sort of update that way people know
when it's available. Comes out, if you want to have me back, I would love, absolutely. I would love to return just because you're also really cool and nice. And
thanks.
I would love, your page. I love your Instagram page. I follow it and I love the content that you put out there and it's so helpful and healing. And
well, good I'm stuff. Glad. I'm glad. I'm sad, but I'm glad. I'm happy that it's helpful. But this is a place that none of us wanted to be. But I think when this comes out, people will really feel seen by it. And I think that's so important.
I really, really hope so. We also, when we raised money, we raised money. We gave 5% of my total budget to charities. That pregnancy and infant loss. We gave over $1,200 to different organizations. And actually last night I just met with one called Sharing Parents. They're in Sacramento. And we're going to be doing some stuff together, including once the movie's out, we're going to do a fundraiser screening for them and, Empty Cradle in San Diego. We've worked with them a little bit and, you know,
Evermore Blooms, if any other, I know as well,
Evermore,
them on your list,
right. And Teeny Tears, the Finley Project. All these places that I never knew about when it happened to me, but I found out when I was looking for places to donate. And we do have a GoFundMe going on right now, because it does cost money to send it to festivals and get a publicist and do all the things and travel and whatever. I hate asking people for money, but we are giving, 20% of whatever we raise. Over time, we're going to give more, 20% of that, whatever the total is, when it's all said and done, we're going to give 20% of that to the organizations again. So it was 5% originally, and now it's 20. And so I'm hoping that you can help us, but you can also help the organizations. So it's kind of like a dual mitzvah, as mom would say.
I love it. I'll share all the links in the show description. That way people have access to all of the things, and can support you. Cause I think, once people hear the song, the music video, I don't think gave too much away. So I think you did a great job there too.
Good. That's what I was worried about. Yeah.
And then once it is available, we'll make sure everybody knows about it. Cause you know, I've met one other person that's trying to make, like a small film about miscarriage, and the funding is so hard to get because it's like people have to be really passionate about helping you with this. Yeah. It's a very specific niche, and like it doesn't, you know, it's not like a guaranteed like formula of making a film.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
that's usually what gets sold.
We raise the money mainly on like the back of my other films, so people knew that they were good and they liked them, and so they were like, it was more of that than particularly what it was about. But now I want to reach those people. I want to reach the people that it's for, the people that I made it for, not just the people who like me as a filmmaker or an actor or whatever, but like for the people who actually could benefit from this. And the great thing about it going to film festivals is there's always a Q&A, which means that's discussion, that's conversation. Yeah. And, you know, as I publicize it and all that and do these interviews and stuff like that, then more people get to hear it and more people get to see it. And hopefully it helps more people feel kind of validated in their own experience. I hope that's the goal, at least.
I think it will. And whenever it is available, like you're welcome back. I'm happy to do a screen or whatever I can do to help
you. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
I also looking at, cause I didn't do a ton of research before other than the links that you sent me, but I feel like you have actually been in a lot of things like in your past, like you have a lot on your credits. And so I didn't see, so at first it being like a psychological thriller, because what I saw come up was Shameless and iCarly, which got my attention, which is two totally different things.
Right.
But I love that you have so much experience in so many different things, like that, you know, there's an episode of Days of Our Lives. There's,
I know, yeah.
That's a great, like, you know, I know
I've done
actor,
Disney,
you have to do
Nickelodeon, so
Tracy.
hour long. I was on ER. I did New Girl. I was in Superbad. I was Adam Sandler's sister and my best in Just Go With It.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, My Best Friend's a Girl, all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It looks like you've done some pretty awesome work, and then you also dig into like the personal work to go with the acting, which is so amazing.
Yeah, I started to make my own films because I wasn't getting the roles that I really wanted to play, which was like the darker stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a comedian. I did stand up for a long time, so people kind of made me, and I'm overweight, so you know, I'm funny if you're overweight, like that's how that works, right? So
so
I was
annoying.
Like, but I can act, like I can actually act and like do things. And so that's why I started to make stuff myself. And then making stuff yourself is so hard and tiring and expensive and exhausting and just all consuming that I couldn't make something that doesn't mean anything. It's just
Of
too much
course.
work and it's too
Yeah.
expensive in just every way. So that's why I only make things that really mean something to me. And this definitely, out of all three of my shorts, is the most meaningful and personal thing I've ever made. And it's scary to put out there because it's like, I'm
Yeah,
not putting
but
out like a character. Like, that's just me. Like, it's just me. You
but
know?
it's still like, I mean, I've been through loss, and if a camera was in my face, I could not do that like in front of a camera. So I feel like even though those emotions are real, like there's still a layer of acting to it, because it's making sure
Sure.
that you're aware of the camera, that you're getting the shot that needs to be get while you're also feeling the emotions that you have. So I mean,
Sure.
like I'm not one, like I can't give out awards or anything, but I think, I mean, like I told you, I wrote down the note of like, wow, this actress is really good. It's, and
That
was,
means
I wrote down
so
the word phenomenal. So I feel
much.
like, I feel like that's made me like super interested. Now I'm going to have to go watch the other films.
Oh my God, go. Yeah, the other two are on Amazon and also on YouTube. You can find it on all of my Cyclamen Films like YouTube channel, which we just started. So I have like no followers and nobody's looking at it. But it's all up there.
Amazing.
People want to see it. And we have a behind the scenes documentary that's going to come out also. So you can see what was going on behind the scenes. And I have a DVD that, was part of our crowdfunding campaign. We haven't made it yet, but we're going to make it. It's going to have all three films on it, all three behind the scenes. It's going to have the music video. It's going to have commentary. It's going to have just all the things that you would expect to be on a DVD. And it's called Love Scars, because all three of my films are about some kind of horrific love.
Yeah.
Some kind of love related horror, which seems to be my genre, is like
Hey, I'm
horror.
there.
Everyone's like, love related horror, that's you. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
So
We
yeah.
like dark and twisty things around here. So I go for the dark stuff.
Hey. And anybody who donates over $50 to our GoFundMe, just email me your name and address and you will get a DVD for not for free, but like included in your donation from
Yeah.
us. That
Amazing.
we should have in a few months available to send out.
Awesome. That sounds great. Well, thank you so much for sharing and for allowing me to screen the film. That way I can tell people how great it is, and
Oh, thanks.
can't wait to follow along and see when it comes out and all the things that come along with it. So again, please come back and please share, you know, whenever it's available, that way everybody can watch it. But if anybody wants to watch the music video, I really love that the music video where it's posted on YouTube, you put the lyrics, and I feel like that's really awesome because the lyrics like read like a poem, which most songs I guess
Yeah.
technically do, and so it does really great. So
Well,
I'll
since
post
I
all the
didn't
links
write the
there.
music and I did write the lyrics, they were especially important to me because I was like, that's my part of the song. That's the part that I
Yeah.
wrote. So yeah.
Yeah, of course. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. And I hope to hear from you soon, and wishing you all the best.
For sure. You too. Thank you so much for having me.
All the time now, everything is still. be. I thought we'd have more time, that at least we'd get to meet. I must be in a dream, or maybe a nightmare, a child's love unseen. Joy. Now sadness fills these walls.